Our scripture today starts out with the word therefore. Therefore is an important word in the Bible. It informs us that an instruction or a promise, whether it be a promise of blessing or a promise of consequence, is coming next. In this case, it's an instruction. It's an instruction that sounds like this. Because of that, do this. This instruction is, since Christ suffered in the flesh and died for us. This is the because part. Because Christ suffered in the flesh and died for us. Peter is reminding the hearers of this letter that they've already learned about the good news of what Jesus came to earth to do. He took the sins of man upon himself and paid the debts of everyone who would ever turn their hearts to follow after him. He paid our debts. He ransomed our souls so that one day we could be in paradise with him. The verse continues, arm yourselves like warriors. Someone else in the Bible also talked about arming ourselves so that we would be able to make it through each day with all that the devil is going to throw at us. How many of you have had a day where you just didn't know if you were going to make it through? Myself as well. How many of you know that even being a Christian means that those days aren't going to go away? We're still going to have days where we don't know if we're going to make it through. But there's a difference. The difference in being a believer or unbeliever is knowing that no matter what happens in the day, we know what comes next. If we don't make it through the day, we know what eternity holds for us. But if we don't believe in an eternal heaven, then we don't know what's coming next. We need the belt of truth, which holds everything together. The breastplate of righteousness, guarding your heart as you go forward. Your feet fitted with peace to step in confidence as the Holy Spirit leads. The shield of faith, which blocks all the twisted lies of the devil because your faith is in Christ. The helmet of salvation, which constantly reminds you that Christ paid your debt and ransomed your soul. You no longer listen to the lies of the devil. You are a child of God now. And one last piece of armor, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will bring back to your memory when the devil is trying to mislead you. Take up each piece of this armor each day to guard yourself from the sly ways of the devil and remind yourself that you have this armor because Jesus died for you. The verse continues, arm yourself with the same purpose, being willing to suffer for doing what is right and pleasing to God. How many of you know that it's not always easy to do the right thing? Sometimes feelings get hurt. Sometimes embarrassing things need to be brought out of the dark spots of your past. Sometimes consequences need to be paid, but it's still the right thing to do. Lies and hidden things are the chains that keep us stuck. Because whoever suffered in the flesh, being like-minded with Christ, is done with intentional sin. Whoever has suffered in the flesh is done with intentional sin. When you recognize where this action leads to, the pain it causes, then your heart can truly turn from that sin and you can be set free. When the truth is revealed, the truth of where this action truly leads to, the pain that it truly causes, When the truth is revealed to you, you can be set free. Scripture says, "And the truth shall set you free." What truth might you need to receive today? Scripture continues, having stopped pleasing the world so that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living for human appetites and desires, but lives for the will and purpose of God. Oh, how free we could each become when we realize that human appetites seek to feed itself. It's constantly searching for shady spaces to consume a little bit more. But the will of God is revealed in Christ, setting oneself aside for the life of another. God blesses His children so that they can be good stewards with the riches He's given, so that His children can be a blessing to others. It's never for your confidence and security to rest in the stored up blessings. It's always for your confidence to be in God, who provided before and promises that if you trust Him, you will find all you need as you go. Not usually in advance, but as you walk in the path that He's lighting for you, one step at a time, you'll find the blessings as you go. Verse 3, for the time already past is more than enough for doing what the unsaved Gentiles like to do, living unrestrained as you have done. Look, God's not naive. He knows your past, He knows your present, and He knows what your future holds. And He's saying, it's time for the foolishness to be done. It's time to start moving in the right direction. No more of this. It's not good for you. What's this unrestrained living that we're called to separate ourselves from? It's a course of shameless sensuality. Things that make me feel good. Dressing in a way that gets people's attention. Behaving in a way that gets me a title in town and keeps people from messing with me. Releasing my morals so that people will like me. It's lusts, things that others have that I set my attention on wanting. Sure, lust can be after people in unwholesome ways, but lust can also be after people as friends. Boy, I wish I had friends like that. Or boy, I wish I had more friends. It can also be after cars, houses, boats, tools, toys, money, and much more. Drunkenness. Being intoxicated with alcohol, but also other things that make you lose control of your actions, like being drunk with love and doing foolish things in the name of love, intoxicated with attention and doing anything to have an audience, and of course the slew of physical and mental drugs that we're discovering these days. Carousing, searching around for unwholesome activities. Ask yourself, what's the real reason I'm looking in this direction? Drinking parties, where people are intending to get intoxicated, where people are eagerly awaiting the fun drunks who start the entertainment. And wanton or flirtatious idolatries, where people say, I'm not that bad. I just do this a little so that I can feel a certain way. What idol could you possibly be using to get to a certain place? You'll know it's an idol when someone suggests something else and you get all worked up about not having that specific thing. Have you placed your confidence in a thing or in God? Verse 4 continues, in connection with all this, they, the unbelievers, are resentful and surprised that you do not think like them. Value their values and run hand in hand with them in the same excesses of dissipation and immoral freedom. And they criticize and abuse and ridicule you and make fun of your values. I have one story for you today. Well, one story so far. And it's about me. Before I met Lisa, I was one of those people who who went to parties all the time, I shared with you that I was a drunk long before the age of 18. And so I went to parties all the time. And people called me Wild Bill because I was the night's entertainment when I got drunk. And I would dance on tables and do all kinds of foolish things. Not things that bring me great pride today, but that's who I was then, and that's what I did. When I became a family man and I met Lisa, and I shared with you guys when I told you the story about the age that I became a drunk and what Lisa said when I met her, and she said, it's not going to be like this. You're either going to choose this lifestyle or you're going to choose to be a family person. You're going to be the husband and the father that we need, or you're going to go out and party and drink, but it's not going to be both. And so I changed my ways, and it wasn't easy. I don't remember how many years it took, but it wasn't easy, but I did it. We still had gatherings and family parties, and there was still beer and alcohol at different parties, and I would drink, and people would occasionally wait and watch to see if Wild Bill would come out, and occasionally he did, and occasionally it wasn't a next fun morning when I had to face my family. I still did some foolish things, and I drew attention to myself. Part of me thinks that some of that was because I was such an introverted person that I didn't normally talk to people. And so I used that to loosen myself up so I could be more fun to be around and have people's attention. I used it like an idol to get people's attention. After I started ministry school, I learned that ministers in the Assemblies of God cannot have any alcohol. And so I changed. That was an easy change because God was new in my life. And it was easy for me to walk away from that and to step up so that I could be a leader in the church. I could be a respectable pastor and say that I don't give in to the things that are gonna change my morals. And so that if there's somebody who struggles like I used to, they won't wonder why the pastor can have a drink, but they can't. The pastor doesn't drink, and it's possible to go through life that way. So if it's a struggle for you, understand that you can go through life and it will be okay. But when I stopped drinking and I would go to these family gatherings, there was something that happened. There was a change. And it's wrote in Scripture, but I didn't know about it at the time. When I started going to these gatherings and I didn't drink anymore, and people would offer me a drink, and I'd say, no thanks, I don't need it. And I would sit there and drink soda or drink lemonade or water or whatever else was around. People started becoming uncomfortable with me being around them, because I was then seeing what they were doing, and they felt guilty about what they were doing because I wasn't doing it. They knew about me going to ministry school. They knew about me drawing closer and closer to God. And so if I wasn't partaking in what they were partaking in, maybe my God didn't agree with it. And so were they now doing something wrong, and I was their judge and I was going to be criticizing them? But Scripture also says I'm not their judge. And so I wasn't criticizing anybody. But they were uncomfortable with their own behaviors because I was around. Verse 5, but they have to give an account to him who is ready to judge and pass sentence on the living and the dead. It's interesting that I don't have to speak condemnation to people who are living wild and free. My choice is not to participate in the things the Lord says are not good for me, causes people in the worldly way of life to become uncomfortable with me just seeing their actions. The Bible tells us to be an example and lead people with what they see in us. They know if you're not participating, then your God must not approve. But the truth is, He's the one true God of all creation. They will meet Him one day, and they will discover that their choices did matter. For this is why the good news of salvation was preached in their times, in their lifetimes, even to those who are dead. The people around me know about the stories of this Jesus. They know that my life is going through drastic changes because I believe He's real. But even though they've heard stories about Jesus, many of them don't know the truth about what God's Word says a follower of Christ looks like. They know change needs to happen, but they're not ready yet. The salvation of Christ is put in the ears of people, and the choices they make from there reveal in the end who their God was. The verse 6 continues, that though they were judged in the flesh as men are, in this message today we've identified that people who are setting themselves aside for Christ will often find themselves to be misfits in their old circles of friends. At the same time, people who are living in the ways of the world will find worldly pleasures and treasures encouraging their continued actions. This is seeing our lives through the eyes of men. In order to finish this section of verse 6, we got to go back up and do the whole verse. So verse 6 says, "For this is why the good news of salvation was preached in their lifetimes, even to those who are dead, that though they were judged in the flesh as men are, they may live in the Spirit according to the will and purpose of God." This verse as a whole is talking about the people who hear about Jesus and choose to follow Christ in the remainder of their lives. They will be judged by mankind, criticized and mocked for their changed character, but they will receive the promised blessing of Jesus and find that He has prepared a place for them in paradise with Him. They will live in the Spirit with Christ until the rapture happens and our physical bodies are raised, renewed, and restored to us once again. As I'm reading through these things that God has been working on in my heart to share with you guys over this past week for this day, and then I reflect back on the discussions that I've had with various different people today, and the songs that have been set up earlier in the week for us to sing for worship today, and I see how they correlate over and over and over again to the same thing being spoken again. It helps me to realize that God was in this from the beginning, because He knew the questions I was going to be asked today, and He already had them wrote in the Scripture. The end in verse 7, "The end and culmination of all things is near. Therefore, be sound-minded and self-controlled for the purpose of prayer and staying balanced and focused on the things of God so that your communication will be clear, reasonable, specific, and pleasing to Him." I read through that really fast. But there's an important part in there, and it's extremely significant. But it's not only in there, it's in other places in Scripture too. Why are we to be sound-minded, steady and sturdy in our faith, and self-controlled in the ways we conduct ourselves, so that our prayers are not hindered in reaching the heart of God? God does hear the prayers of unbelievers and people with weak faith, but He delights in the prayers of the faithful, the followers, the ones who have truly set their hearts on following Jesus. Get your heart right with God and see if He won't fulfill His written promises in your life and through your prayers. Verse 8, "Above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, Because love covers a multitude of sins. It overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others. I love this part of Scripture. Love covers a multitude of sins. But does this mean that we're supposed to hide each other's sins? No. It means that we're supposed to intercede with God out of compassion for the person who's failing or falling. Jesus is our example. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stephen followed Jesus and he covered the sins of Paul, or at the time his name was Saul. When he was part of the religious sect that stoned Stephen, Stephen prayed, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Have fervent and unfailing love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Set your heart to pray for the sinners around you, that God will open their eyes to the pain they're causing and will spare their souls. Use your connection with God for the forgiveness and renewal of those stuck in sins of all kinds. Pray to your Father in heaven on their behalf and cover their sins with the blood of your Savior. And verse 9 is the verse we'll end on for today. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Our church knows how to be hospitable to people. We do a great job with that. But sometimes we miss the ending of this verse, without complaint. Sometimes we let our disapproval of others' actions speak much louder than our joy for their presence in our company. Sometimes we jump to telling people what we don't like and lose our hospitality side, which invites them, the people who don't know about our beliefs, into our presence to hear about why we do what we do. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Now, in all that breakdown of Scripture, hopefully you received at least one or two, maybe three things that spoke to you today. But when we leave here today and someone asks, "What was the message about?" you may find it difficult to sort through all this information and determine what was the overall message. Let's start with today's title, which is "Willing to Suffer for What is Right." This comes from the beginning of our Scripture today, which said, "For the same purpose as Christ, be willing to suffer for doing what is right and pleasing to God." What was the purpose of Christ? Well, because God so loved people, so loved mankind, so loved the world, Jesus came to live a blameless life and intercede for sinners to see them restored to God. In the same purpose, we are to set our hearts on God, do our very best to live blameless before God and man, and intercede, cover over a multitude of sins. We're called to pray for sinners with compassion, for they know not how much is riding on their choices today. We are to do this because God loves us and the sinners too. We are to live separated from the ways of the world, not so we can be excluded from it, but so that we are living, breathing examples of God's Word, which tells us not to be conformed to the ways of the world, but to set our hearts on God. It tells us to store up our treasures in heaven. It tells us that the only thing that we can bring to heaven with us is the people around us. They're our treasures. We do this by pointing them to Christ and letting the Holy Spirit soften their heart and open their eyes to see the truth of God's work in this broken world. Scripture tells us that even the worst of sinners are of great value to God. He loves even them. I've done some pretty awful things in my life, and yet God has still shown me that He loves me. That He loves even me. Nowhere does He say He's pleased with the things I've done, or that He's okay with me continuing to do them. But He does love me, and His Word says that His desires are for me to willingly turn from my old ways to follow Him. In doing this, in changing things in my life, in turning from things that are socially acceptable in society, but are discouraged in the Word of God because they lead God's children to things that He doesn't want them to have to experience. By turning from worldly things so that I can follow God with my heart, I've experienced social rejections. I've experienced people not wanting me to be around. I've experienced people not including me in their functions because I make them uncomfortable, like I'm judging them, even though I don't. God's Word says we're not the judge. We're to be the example. But I can't be the example if I don't understand that God's Word does in fact talk about living differently than the unbelievers do. I can try to fool myself into thinking I'm only doing this, that, or the other thing in an effort to be socially relatable to the unbelievers so that I can get them to hear the message I have about Jesus the Savior. But the truth is, what the unbeliever will see is, hey, you look and act just like me. That must mean I can stay the way I am and have Jesus too. But that gives people a jaded message. Jesus did pay for their salvation, but He calls us to be set apart from the ways of the world. He calls us to live so that His light is revealed through us. He calls us to set our hearts on following Him and letting others see Him in us as we do. He calls us to be transformed from our old ways, and He tells us that when we do set our hearts to follow Him, people will criticize us for it. And when they do, we are to pray for them with compassion because they are still blind to His truth. They do not realize the significance of their choices yet, but we were once like them. So with a grateful heart for the salvation we have and a heart of compassion for what they could miss not knowing Jesus, we are to pray for them, intercede for them, cry out for their souls. Even if they have hurt us, we are to pray for their souls because they don't understand. When I went through our scripture today, I went through it and I broke it down a lot. And so you may have missed some of the context of what's actually said. So we're going to go through it and read it all at once. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh and died for us, arm yourselves like warriors with the same purpose, being willing to suffer for doing what is right and pleasing to God. Because whoever has suffered in the flesh, being like-minded with Christ, is done with intentional sin, having stopped pleasing the world, so that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living for human appetites and desires, but lives for the will and purpose of God. For the time already past is more than enough for doing what the unsaved Gentiles like to do, living unrestrained as you have done, in a course of shameless sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and wanton idolatries. In connection with all this, they, the unbelievers, are resentful and surprised that you do not think like them, value their values, and run hand in hand with them into the same excesses and dissipation and immoral freedom. And they criticize and abuse and ridicule you and make fun of your values. But they will have to give an account to Him who is ready to judge and pass sentence on the living and the dead. For this is why the good news of salvation was preached in their lifetimes, even to those who are dead, that though they were judged in the flesh as men are, they may live in the Spirit according to the will and purpose of God. The end and culmination of all things is near. Therefore, be sound-minded and self-controlled for the purpose of prayer. Staying balanced and focused on the things of God so that your communication will be clear, reasonable, specific, and pleasing to Him. Above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. It overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Be willing to suffer in your flesh and do what is right and pleasing to God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind as you feed on the Word of God. And don't be conformed in the ways of the world. Don't do as the unbelievers do, but set your heart on following the examples of Jesus Christ. Loving on the broken and encouraging them to recognize the truth in God's Word. Pointing them towards the healer and encouraging them to continue, even when the road seems difficult and scary, because greater things are on the other side. Be willing to set aside things that God's Word discourages, even if they cause suffering in your life, suffering in your fleshly desires, because God promises blessings upon those whose hearts are set on Him. The suffering is only temporary, but the blessings are forever. Be willing to suffer for doing what is right and pleasing to God. Be willing to set aside yourself and suffer momentarily in the flesh for the life of another. Follow Jesus' lead. He said, "Greater love has no man than to set aside one's life for the life of another." Follow Jesus. Not people of the world. Be willing to give up worldly pleasures, things that you may enjoy, but God's Word discourages because they lead to pain. Be willing to do what is right and pleasing to God now, even if it causes momentary suffering. Because following God will lead to eternal blessing, but following the world leads to eternal destruction. The world and all that's in it will be destroyed one day. It's promised in God's Word. But after that, there will be a new earth, a perfect earth, a pure earth, an eternal paradise with God. In what ways might you still be following the world that's doomed for destruction? Be willing to cut those ways out today and suffer a little now so that you will be right, true, and pleasing to God now and throughout eternity. When I started telling my story and about how my life progressed and that I got to a point where I was being criticized or I was being outcast or I wasn't being invited to the party and stuff, I felt like I was telling a sob story, a pity story. Oh, woe is me, nobody wants to be my friend because I'm a follower of Christ. I hope by now, after going through the Scripture and breaking it down, that you see that that's exactly what God calls us to. And there's a reason that He calls us to it. Because at some point, those people who didn't want you at their party because you made them feel bad about what they were doing may come to you if they see that there was something different about you and ask you, why do you hold so true to this God? Scripture tells us to be ready in all seasons to share our faith in Christ. In that season, if you have not made yourself a follower of Christ, that person may not have you to look to because they may not recognize that there was anything different about you. You are just another person in the world. We are called to be set apart. We are called to set our hearts on God and follow Him. We are promised that in that there will be social rejections, there will be criticism, there will be people that mock our values. But we are called to do that We are called to set our complete heart on Christ and follow Him with all that's in us, because we're to be His light in this world. And in order to be His light, we need to be set on Him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your written Word, especially in this time and season and generation of this world, Lord God, where so many of us want more people around us, that we're willing to compromise to get people to come and be with us. And we're taught in different ways, Lord God, that it's okay to do different things so that you can be part of the group, and then once you're part of the group, you can explain to them about Jesus. But if they see you as just like them, if they see us just like them, are they really going to believe that there's any difference? Lord God, we thank You for Your Word to us today. And I ask You, Lord God, to continue to work in each heart as they pick up Your Word and they read through it, Lord God. Help them to see how many times in Your Word You tell us to be set apart, to be the light of Your love and Your mercy, but also to be the difference in this world, that people will come out of the darkness to be led by. Lord God, help us to be Your light in this world. Help us to stand different. Help us to stand strong. Help us to remember as we go through these days, Lord God, that we're doing this as a call from You. We're here walking on earth still because You're patiently waiting for more people to repent and turn their hearts to You. But how will they ever turn if they don't hear about You? How will they ever know that there's supposed to be something different in them if they don't see something different in us? Help us, Lord God, to hold strong to Your Word in this time when Your Word is being compromised, to grow churches and keep them alive. Help us to read Your Word and to let it set in our hearts, strong in our hearts, to keep us walking with You and not with the words of man. Lord God, help us and guide us. Encourage us and lead us in Your Word and through Your Holy Spirit. In Your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy upon us and all of those around us. Amen.